What is that? Is that Dave Bautista walking to the ring? No, it's Monday Fun Day.
Actually, that was the sound of all the Jayhawk fans out there going, oh my God, what is going on with our program?
We'll get to that. Yeah, it's 10:30 on a Monday morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. It's May. Is it the 20th? No, it's the 21st.
The 21st.
My watch is wrong.
Oh, no.
That's weird. It was right like yesterday. Strange.
Did it say the 19th or the 20th?
It's been right like all month. This is weird.
Broken watch is right twice a day.
I fixed it there now. So it's Monday, May 21st, 10:30 in the morning. I wish we were live on the radio right now instead of doing a recorded podcast because we have breaking news.
Well, it came down this morning that the University of the Chancellor Douglas Girard has relieved Athletic Director Shane Zenger of his duties effective immediately as of Monday morning. Shane Zenger no longer the Athletic Director. This is the guy who over the past 7 years, if you know, under him, we have seen such great advancements in KU football as Turner Gill, David Beatty, Charlie Weiss, and the hits just keep on coming. So, unfortunately, it looks like KU football, probably the downfall of Shane Zenger at the University of Kansas. So they will go on now to have another search for a new athletic director, somebody who will carry, hopefully, this program into a new century here with you know, maybe a better record than we've had.
Here's the official statement from your chancellor. The Shea's been a loyal Jayhawk, and Kansas athletics has improved in many ways under his leadership. But the department continues to face a number of challenges, and progress in key areas has been elusive.
To achieve
the level of success we need and expect, a change in leadership is necessary. Now, if you're feeling bad for, is it Shea? How do I say his name?
Shea's fine.
Shea? Okay, yeah. Show.
Not to be confused with this Shea.
That'll work,
right? We'll call him Zenger. Zenger, hey-o. All right. Don't feel too bad for him, though. He was terminated without cause, according to the official wording, which means, per that agreement, he'll get still 2 years of his salary, that's $700,000 a year, plus health insurance premiums for a total of, for getting fired for the next 2 years, he'll be paid a total of $1,419,309. So don't worry about Shea, he's fine.
Oh, it's, you know what, those contracts in football and sports, they're always ironclad, they're always guaranteed. I mean, look how many coaches are getting paid. We were paying three coaches at one time to not coach the University of Kansas and spending money on those guys just because we'd made some really, really bad coaching decisions.
Right. Although this isn't, of course, this compares like nothing to the Bobby Bonilla contract the New York Mets still pay him. You know about the Bobby Bonilla contract?
Oh, yeah. Well, every year on a certain date?
I think it's July 1st every year he gets paid $1 million. And it was when that was signed and they released him, it was like, we're going to pay you $1 million a year for 25 years not to play for the Mets anymore. God, I wish I was like so good and then got so bad that I could just be fired by Q104 but given money for the next 25 years. You imagine?
You're not even getting paid now,
that
Mike.
That is crazy.
I don't know. I just negotiated a new contract. They're going to pay for my rent and groceries, and that's my payment. Hmm. Like, I don't get any money, but I get rent and groceries.
So it's interesting because I'm going back now and just doing a quick search. It was almost exactly a year ago today. It was May 28th of last year that they actually announced that Zenger would get a 3-year contract extension from the University of Kansas. They upped his base salary from $619,000 to $700,000 last year. This runs through June of 2021, they said. At the time, he was hired or he was re-upped by the outgoing at the time KU Chancellor Bernadette Gray Little, who then retired in the summer. And they just, you know, said that, hey, look, great times were ahead. Better stuff is coming up. And really, you know, he has brought some renovations to Municipal Stadium. There are some Memorial Stadium. There are some really great things that did happen under his watch as far as trying to push along the evolution of football, the brand new locker rooms, the facilities, trying to get KU on a physical level with other schools in the Big 12. Unfortunately, the success on the field never came along with it. So you can have a brand new, beautiful locker room. If you don't have a team on the field that can get the results you want, it's none of that's really going to matter.
True. Just some names for you to keep your eyes on over the next couple of months. Deputy Athletics Director Sean Lester is the interim director now. Gerard has already begun identifying a permanent new athletics director to lead that process. He's hired Drew Jennings. He'll be the interim athletics. He was the interim athletics director in 2003. Also, Jed Hughes, who? He's a consultant with the Korn Ferry Executive Search Firm.
You know, Korn Ferry?
Korn, with a K, by the way, like Jonathan Davis's band.
Wow.
Are you going to throw your name in there?
No,
might as well. Mike Keller, everybody.
Well, I would love new athletics director.
If they would like to, I will take I'll save them some money. I will take $200,000 a year. All right, so I'll save them $500,000 a year. All right, football won't get any worse.
True.
And then I secretly won't tell them that I grew up in the fine state of Missouri and watch as I sabotage your entire basketball program.
I do want to clarify one thing, that Zinger actually hired, technically, Charlie Weiss and David Beatty. He had to negotiate us out of the Turner Gill thing and into Charlie Weiss. So let me just clarify that he didn't hire Turner Gill, but during his time, we moved from one bad thing into another with Turner Gill to Charlie Weiss to David Beatty. So
check us out on Twitter at Monday Funday KC. Tweet us, who do you think should be the next Kansas athletic director? It's a big job. It's a big deal.
Does it matter? I mean, here's my question. Does it matter? I mean, let's get real about the state of football at the University of Kansas.
Yes, it matters. And this is nothing more than my opinion, but here's why it matters. Kansas basketball is a self-running program. This athletics director doesn't need to know anything about basketball, because he doesn't need to. And he or she should be smart enough to stay out of the way of basketball. They're fine. Let them do their thing and focus 100% on football. You have to get better. You're a Big 12 school that includes states, Texas, Oklahoma. I mean, this is where high school football is the biggest in the world. You have to have a successful or at least a mediocre football team, because there is flat out too much money involved in football for you not to be good at football.
That's a good
point. Completely agree.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, it is right. Regardless of how popular basketball is, its contribution to the coffers of the athletic department is minuscule in relation to what football and a big TV contract will bring to the school.
And you see the way the fog lights up and Allen Fiedel lights up when it's KU hoops time. The fans are there. And if that team puts a successful product on the field, I don't like saying it as a Mizzou guy, we all know, that stadium will fill up and it'll be loud and there'll be a rock chalk until the Hawks come home. I don't know if that's a phrase. I just made that up, but you get what I'm saying.
But it sounds good, yeah.
There's too much
and all that
money.
Merch and everything else that people would be buying, because people are loyal to KU.
That's true. I feel bad for whomever comes in, because it's such a crazy proposition to find out what is it going to take to win at football at the University of Kansas. We've spent decades trying to figure this out. I mean, honestly, Mark Mangino was the closest we've gotten to football success, and a kid couldn't take a finger in his chest is what led to the unraveling of that whole program.
I know. But
he was coaching football. Let's just be honest about it.
I know. You'll get there. The athletic director for Kansas should be 100% focused on football. And I'm exaggerating when I say that, but only a little bit and not a lot. But this person should have football on the mind, and football when he goes to sleep, and football when he wakes up. What softball needs to have? All right, fine. Let's think about football some more. Like football, football, football.
Well, because if it's not broke, don't fix it. They don't need to worry about the basketball program.
That person should only go up to Bill Self and say, hey, Bill, nice to meet you. You'll never see me again. You do a fine job. Bye. I should.
No, absolutely.
He should. And then go to the football and then stay there and say, these are great locker rooms, and keep bringing kids in and showing them the brand new locker room and show them the cool metallic helmets they have. You know.
You're such a uniform geek.
It's fun. I could get into why the number font is bad for Kansas football, but I won't get into that.
We'll wait till fall for that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. So, well, that stuff works. You just got to keep hammering it home, I guess.
It does. So, KU AD fired. It's cool that we have breaking news on a podcast. That never happens. This is exciting. I mean, sorry. And I don't, the man lost his job. Well, he's got another $1.4 million coming in just because he got fired. He's fine.
He's okay. Got some comfort coming in. He's fine.
He's fine. Don't worry about it. Now, guys, I tell you, I got yelled at.
Good.
On our Q104 morning show.
Why is that?
Because we were talking about the Royals and how they didn't do so hot against the Yankees over the weekend. They're off to St. Louis, take on the Cardinals for a couple of games. And we got a text in from a listener. This is probably 6:15 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And this texter told me, you know, you guys don't ever talk about Sporting Kansas City, but they're in first place in all the MLS right now and pretty badass. So why don't you give them some love?
Oh, you got my text this morning.
That was not you.
You don't know that. You don't know that. But it was. They had a game this weekend. Did you watch it, Truda?
I did not, no, but I saw the highlights later.
So Sporting was playing Minnesota Loons, who they've only been around for, I think this is their second season?
I think so.
The Minnesota Loons?
Yeah, it's my hometown.
L-O-O-N-S?
Yep. The bird. The state bird.
The Loons?
The Loon,
yep.
Yeah.
Like drunk as a loon.
I've never heard that
You never heard the phrase drunk as a loon? Trudy, have you ever heard that?
I've heard drunk as a loon, yeah.
Drunk as a loon.
Or reference to being drunk as a loon, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's a common phrase. So why does Minnesota have like a mascot team name, but nobody else in soccer does?
Well, that's not necessarily true. I think people have...
Like Sporting Kansas City.
No, there's the Orlando City Lions, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Hold on.
And the Timbers and the Sounders.
Has nothing to do with Kesha, by the way. Let's preface
right,
that.
Right.
Hold on. Why do then not all teams have nicknames or all teams don't have nicknames? And what if, could you imagine if that was in baseball? Like baseball Kansas City takes on the St. Louis Cardinals this week. Like what? Why do some teams have mascot logo and some don't?
You know what?
That's
the commissioner,
weird.
The MLS commissioner was actually just in town and I didn't get a chance to ask him that question.
But I think it's a European thing. If you go back and you look at like Premier League teams, you know, for example, there's Arsenal. And that's their team name. Arsenal plays Liverpool this weekend. But their fans call them the Gunners, right? So they're just colloquially known as Gunners. So I think in a lot of the American teams are trying to parody that or trying to mirror that. Say, well, we're Sporting KC, but some people, I don't know, some people call them the Blues, I guess. And
yeah, I mean, I think honestly,
it's really informal.
Deep down tradition, we're always going to be the Wiz in some way,
right,
shape, or form.
Right.
The Wizards from
right,
and we became the Sporting Kansas City in what, 2007?
It was right before they went into the new stadium.
Okay,
yeah,
so right around that time. So even, and you've been to a game, Mike. Even in the middle of the chant, it's all about the Wiz go marching in.
That's
so
right.
Even though we are Sporting Kansas City, we're still always going to be the Wizards. Just deep down,
I'm blindsided by this fact. I didn't realize that some of the MLS teams had like. Normal, like in every other sport, every team has their nickname.
Well, you've got the Seattle Sounders,
but I gotta tell you, hang on. I like the idea of not having team names.
You do,
especially teams that don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kansas City. Well, like okay, like why are they called the Royals? No kings or queens have ever come from the middle, you know, in Kansas City, Missouri, or the Kansas area. The Chiefs, I'm sure there were some Indian settlements, some Native American settlements here at one point in time.
Well, that's not at all why they're called the Chiefs.
Oh, okay.
It all goes back to these political figures who they were named the Chiefs after H. Roe Bartle, who was, we've seen Roe, have you driven on Roe? You've seen Bartle Hall, it's named after him. H. Roe Bartle was a big mayor of KCK. His nickname was the Chief. He was very instrumental in bringing the NFL to Kansas City, and so they named the Chiefs after him.
Is he of Native American origin at all?
I don't think so. If you look, there are a lot of Indian settlements around here. I mean, Shawnee, I mean, that's a whole Indian name there.
Sure, that's a good point. I asked about his Native American heritage because, like, if he's the Chief, but he wasn't of Native American heritage, and why is it an arrowhead? Why is it not like a sheriff's badge or something, that sort of chief instead of a...
Right.
God knows I am not trying to stir that sort of political pot. I'm just asking because I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'll throw my hometown team in there too. Like why would you name your baseball team the Cardinals? You name your team after a little red bird, you know, that eats worms and dirt. Like I love my Cardinals, but I don't get.
It's not very fierce.
It has nothing to do with the city. You know, like
what would you want them to be called? The Loons?
Like I don't know, but like But like with a if St. Louis had an MLS team, like I would almost be cool if it was like the Gateway Football Club, like because St. Louis is known as the Gateway to the West. So maybe you call it,
you're changing to the football club,
like Gateway Football Club. But like, but it's just different.
And what's your mascot going to be? An arch?
You don't have a mascot. Sporting have a mascot?
They've got a dog named Blue.
Blue dog, yeah.
Well, then we'll get a real thin dog like Thin Crust Pizza and name it Emo. I don't know.
Which, don't get me started about Thin Crust Pizza, by the way. I could do a whole half hour on that.
Can we get back to talking about Sporting Kansas City?
Well, my suggestion is you love your uniform so much. Honestly, research your team names. The Cardinals, I mean, that's been around forever. I mean, honestly. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the days. I mean, there were two teams in St. Louis with the Browns, right? Were they the Browns?
Yeah, the Browns, who are now the Baltimore Orioles, used to be the St. Louis Browns. And it was actually an all-St. Louis 1944 World Series Cards Browns.
Well, and that's where Harry Carey began his broadcasting career with the St. Louis Browns. Hey-o, Harry Carey. So anyway, as far as names go, it was really a European thing that Sporting decided back in the day. And I remember them talking about this, saying, look, a lot of European clubs, they will have one name, but that encompasses all of their, like Arsenal will encompass their professional team and their younger academy teams and such. They want it to be more of a club atmosphere as opposed to the Kansas City blanks.
Like the club.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, find me in the club.
You are so 50 Cent. It's not even funny.
Thank you. I am in tremendous shape.
Right. So back to Sporting Kansas City, unless you're still talking about the uniforms.
So are they still in first place of the entire NL Central?
Yes, they are.
NL Central?
Is it NL Central?
I was just
really
going to go ahead and...
They are now in the National League Central, everybody.
Wow. I was just ignoring
Sporting
him.
KC.
I wish we could edit this somehow. But
no, I'm so happy we can.
I'm glad that
didn't. Are they still in first place in the entire Major League Soccer standings?
In the West. Yes.
Are they not the best team in the the MLS right now?
That I don't know. I know in the MLS West, it would have been a nicer push, but we were... Okay, so we had about a 7-point lead ahead of LAFC. And then...
LAFC.
Yeah, LAFC. But now, we tied. We did something we love, absolutely. Sporting tied with the Minnesota Loons. They actually scored first. Came back as an offsides play, so it didn't count. But we had 61% of the possession for the entire game, and yet we still couldn't make it happen. And I don't know what it is about Minnesota. Every time we go there, we play like crap. I don't know what it is.
Well, I'm happy to go on the road and at least get 1 point. And by the way, just for grins, right now, Sporting KC at 24 points does lead the Western Conference by 4. Unfortunately, if you were to factor the Eastern Conference in, we are tied with NYCFC and Columbus, both have 24. And Atlanta's on top of everybody with 25.
And NYCFC is who Sporting lost to the first game this year.
But
at home.
But Sporting beat Atlanta.
They did.
That's true.
They did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In their house, barn, in their whatever you all call it.
In their house. I don't know. Sporting just cannot handle Minnesota. And I don't know why. There's really no reason.
Probably because they're distracted by their ridiculous nickname.
Right, I don't
Bunch
think that
of
was
loons.
It. That would be easier, I would think, but either which way. But something kind of exciting, Truda and I are going to be playing at Children's Mercy Park with Sporting Kansas City next week.
Yeah, I don't know if playing is the term. They've changed it up
we
this year.
Cooler.
It is the Media Day game, and last year and years past, it's actually been a game. Let me take that back. It's never been a game. We've been out on the field kicking things and running.
We
but
look like we were all 5 years old again. Yeah. Like, oh, there's the ball. Here's all the media running towards the ball.
It's the swarm of bees.
And it's
for
during
sure.
halftime, and it's always really, really hot. We're all way out of shape to be doing this, and we're quite embarrassing.
Look, I'm so glad we didn't do this podcast, and we didn't even know Keller. Back
this was
in the
two
time
years ago.
When I was burned by the girl from Channel 5.
It was great. Mike, I'll show you the video. It's great. So Truda's playing defense, and he's standing there, and she's going to go left, and he's all ready, and he's turning left, and he's going to get her, and then she just cuts it right and jukes him like it was beautiful.
Like nobody's
And he just
business,
stands there like, oh, no. And he just stood there like just so
did
depressed.
Did that play lead to a goal scored by the opposing team?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it set up a nice run. Yeah,
but we did end up winning that game. Our team did. It wasn't anything
That's
Truda
true.
Or I did.
We had no bearing on the end result.
I actually think I helped the second goal, but I didn't shoot it.
Now, I'm going to ask you to name drop, but obviously you don't have to. But is there somebody out there during these media games that's maybe a little too annoyingly competitive?
I think that would be me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, between Shaylee and my buddy Nate Bucati, who I think scored all the goals. And I love Nate to death, but he's the broadcaster for Sporting KC now. But, yeah, Nate takes it very seriously. Nate puts the ball in the back of the net and then follows it through and runs into the back of the net himself. So,
and then actually, I think he actually jumped the board.
Yeah.
Into the cauldron and partied with the cauldron after
that's right. The goal. His celebration was to jump the boards into the cauldron. So, yes, Nate takes this way too seriously for the media game.
But this year is going to be a little bit different. So we're actually going to be doing penalty kicks. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know who our goalkeeper will be. I'm going to bend it. I'm just hoping that we go up against Jason Lamb from Fox 4. He's a good friend of ours and he has played goalkeeper before, so I hope I go against him so
that's
I have
true.
A shot.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's going to be weird.
Guys, I'll play goalie. I like the big gloves.
Do you think
wear the
so?
Big, can I wear
Are
the
you,
big I, gloves?
You're not afraid of the ball?
I played goalie.
No, man. Look, man, I'm all about somebody kicks it. You dive. You go get that ball.
Oh, my God. This
you stand
would be
right
great.
On the line. You just ready. Like, I'm squat. Like, I'm ready. This is it, right?
Yeah, just hands, like that, Mike.
It takes a special like kind, I guess.
I look like I'm about to poop.
But what I'm going to do is beforehand, I'm going to watch every Benny Failhaber penalty kick because he has this annoying thing that he does because you can't move the ball. You can't tap it at all. The ball sits there. Stop it.
Can't tap it.
You have to just go up and hit it. Goalkeeper cannot come off his line. Mm-mm. You can't move the ball.
And technically, you're not allowed to stop either. But Benny
has this really annoying thing as he runs up, kind of takes a stop. And then he kicks it. And it's so annoying, but he scores every time.
And he doesn't all the way stop. He slows.
He slows enough to
That's
almost
okay.
a full stop. Mm-hmm.
Guys, I'll tell you what. Here we go again. Same thing in hockey on the penalty kick or penalty shot or the shootout.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me, the shootout. You have to keep moving forward, even if it's slowly. So a lot of guys, they'll skate in fast and turn, stop, but still glide slowly and dangle. Biscuit basket. Let's go.
Nice. Well, we're up against inexperienced keepers. I don't see how anybody's going to stop the ball at all. They're going to get juked out every time.
Let's go to a park and get some soccer balls. You guys take your best shot. I'll stop one or two.
Would love to see that.
The only way that we're not going to score is if we miss the goal completely.
Absolutely.
Have you been practicing?
No.
Okay.
Do you guys aim for the inside of the post or what's your target?
I can't tell you. Because what if Jason Lamb listens?
He doesn't. Nobody does.
Oh.
All right. Hey, back to those two weirdly named teams, the Royals and the Cardinals. I'm excited. Now people are giving me trouble again in Kansas City because I grew up as a St. Louis kid. And here we go. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I'm wearing red in Kansas City, and everyone's giving me hell for it. I don't know why everyone gets so mad at me just for wearing the Cardinal gear.
Because we don't like St. Louis. That's why.
But why? We're friends.
You
guys made a great new friend in me.
Are we?
Really not.
Yeah. Yeah. Say
That's
what you
debating.
Want. I know you enjoy this show. You enjoy working with me because I know I enjoy working with you guys as well.
No, yeah, we love you. We just don't like St. Louis. So what's wrong with that?
But because you have no reason to not like St. Louis. Now, here's why you don't like St. Louis. I'll tell you why because I know it all. Because the fans from St. Louis who travel to Kansas City are not the fans that I'm proud of that represent the team that I cheer for. I hate the fans that come here comes to Coffin because they are arrogant buttheads. They come in here. I know they come. Tell me I'm wrong. Isn't this how you feel? But they come to Coffin and all they say is, "Well, we've got 11 world championships." Is that every Cardinal fan you've ever met?
Yeah,
that's
pretty
true.
Much.
That's true.
Yeah,
yes,
that's not me. And I'm sorry you deal with those people, but there are those of us who are more knowledgeable and appreciate the game and appreciate going to a road game and becoming friends with. People who cheer for a different team, and that's what I'll be doing. But like, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Kansas City has the bragging rights. I don't care if we have 11. I mean, it's great that the Cards have 11, but Kansas City has the most recent one, and I think that earns more bragging rights than anything.
Here's the thing about St. Louis. That's part of it, but there's also this ingrained thing growing up here that St. Louis, people from Missouri, they have held St. Louis up as like the older brother, and they always held up that Kansas City was like the younger, smaller, crazy brother who thinks he's big time and wants to smack him back down in this place and like, oh, you're so cute. Just go sit over there. And that's how we always felt that we were being treated in like this patronizing way by St. Louis. That like, oh, that's just cute little Kansas City over there. You guys just sit down and be quiet. You're fine. And so I think that got under a lot of people's skin, that that's the way that we feel about St. Louis people as a whole, that that's the way that we're treated. Now, we were glad to be put on an equal footing, winning a couple of World Series. But this goes far beyond that. I mean, it's political. It is, there is this rivalry here that we want to be as good as St. Louis as far as Missouri City's go.
Oh, sorry.
Whoa, did that come see?
Off? Oh, point there exhibit A.
Were you saying something, little brother?
Uh-huh.
Go back
see.
To your playroom.
Oh, there it is.
Go play with your Legos. Yep. That your mother will step on.
How's your NFL
brother?
Team? Oh, wait.
Man.
It's as good as your hockey team.
Yes.
I know you're like,
the Mavericks?
It doesn't matter. No, not the Mavericks.
This is a deep-rooted thing between KC and St. Louis, I'm telling you. It goes beyond the I-70 series.
I understand that, but all I'm saying is I'm trying to be the peacekeeper, and you're like Kim Jong-un, you just want to start a war. All right, you're over here playing with your little fireworks, calling them nukes, and then, you know, we're going to drop a cardinal bomb on you, and that's going to be the end of it, is all I'm saying.
Oh, boy.
That's terrible.
Look,
what a terrible reference. Oh, my God.
It has to go both ways. You're right. KC fans, we have to look. St. Louis, put it aside. Go over there. Have a great time. I've been to the old Busch Stadium. I've not been to the new one. It's always a fun time. The Arch is great. St. Louis is a fantastic town. I have a lot of friends there. But, yeah, in a lot of ways, we always felt like the smaller brother. You guys were just patting us on the head, going, okay, just you go sit over there, KC.
Oh, yeah, go. You know what? I see that, and I never thought of it that way, being an out-of-towner.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but sure. I will say, like in 14 and 15, when y'all were making the run, I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Because I lived in Columbia, too, so it's 50. Boy, I tell you,
right,
you would have loved Columbia in 2014, 2015, because all the hats turn from red to blue.
Is that right?
All of a sudden, there's blue hats. Boy, they're short of a light, shiny, new, brand new Royals hats out here. Not a lot of worn-in ones out.
That's weird.
The weather seems awful fair in Kansas City this summer, wouldn't you say? Go for a visit.
Well, and it's funny, too, that with the departure of the Rams, the Chiefs' kingdom has expanded to include. They do play the Chiefs games on the radio there in St. Louis now. Mm-hmm.
We've as they should.
Picked up a lot of other side of the state fans, which is cool.
And as it should be that way. And if you watch, the Fox Sports Midwest, which carries the Royals games, nobody out here watches it in the wintertime. They air most of the Blues games Fox Sports Midwest. They air Blues hockey. And so I love that now that Arrowhead and that the Chiefs are now broadcast on KMOX and say, and that's the big stick in St. Louis. Like everyone knows KMOX, that's the big radio station that the Jack Buck called games on for all those years.
Right.
And at night before cell phone towers, that station would go from St. Louis to Memphis to out. My mom picked up a game in Denver one time listening to it. That AM radio is crazy because if it's a clear night, it goes forever.
It's awesome.
You'll hear talk to like a Vietnam veteran. You on a clear, if the whole world was clear, you could get KMOX in Vietnam.
No way.
The way AM, and I don't know the nuts and bolts behind it, but the way AM is, the antennas, the towers are different, and as long as it's clear, you can get it.
Yep.
I listened to it when I lived up near Chicago. Usually I could catch the game on the drive home every night. I could just turn on 1120, and there it was.
Dude, in Kansas City on a clear night, you used to be able to go out. You would get WLS from Chicago. You'd get KOA in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
You get KMOX. You get all these great stations.
Oh, yeah. I
worked for an AM station, and we were required at night to reduce our power. 99% of AM stations at night have to reduce power because of the skip. And so we were on 810, and we had to reduce power to 5,000 watts. Well, one night our remote control failed. And we neglected to turn it down manually. And so we get this letter from a guy in like Seattle a couple weeks later. And he goes, hey, I was listening and I heard you guys one night. And it's like, oh, my God, we just forgot to do that. So thank you for telling us. My bad. But that's what will happen. Yeah, it's crazy that you'll hear those stations all over the world.
AM radio talk on Monday Funday.
Love it.
I love it, too.
You never know what you're going to get.
Did anybody, and I should have and I didn't because I tried to care but I didn't, but like the royal wedding, I did not want the Justify horse win the next race. Now, we're going to have another a Triple Crown candidate here on the third and final race, right?
That's true. That's true. And how exciting that is that we can go into the Belmont Stakes, the final round of the Triple Crown, with once again a candidate for the Triple Crown. Two wins under Justified's belt. And the trainer, Bob Baffert, this is a great time for horse racing again.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, I am so excited.
Me either. Yeah. No.
I couldn't. I tried to get through the whole sentence and I almost fell asleep.
How could you not be excited about that? Triple Crown is one of the great achievements in sport.
Is it, though?
Yes. I will answer your question. Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, let me counter with this. Is it as big of a deal now as it was 3 years ago? Because before 3 years ago, there hadn't been a Triple Crown winner in 70-something years.
Right.
But this just happened 3 years ago. Doesn't that lessen the excitement of it for you? Not that it's not still a big deal, and like it's great that this person may or may not accomplish this. But is it as big of a deal when it was just done less than 5 years ago?
All right, let me ask you this. If somebody goes, somebody won the World Series last year, right? Does it diminish what happens this year because somebody won it last year?
Okay. Houston won it last year, and it was their very first World Series win in franchise history.
That's right.
If they win it again this year, it's not as big of a deal as the first franchise championship ever.
Okay, but Justified didn't win it 3 years ago, right?
No, it doesn't, but it...
But I'm saying somebody wins the World Series every year. Does that diminish the fact that we've had 85 of them now? Or does it? Do we say that is a great achievement? Somebody is a big winner, and you know what? This actually happens even less than that.
But that's the point: is that it's apples and oranges here because the World Series happens every single year. Someone is going to win that every single year. Not every single year is someone going to win a Triple Crown. The opportunity is there. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Nor has it.
Right. So now we've gone 3 years, and it's time again for somebody to possibly step up and win. That's awesome. That's great.
Okay.
And if I'm being honest, here's why I'm not qualified to talk about this. Because what was the name of the horse that did it 3 or 4 years ago? Do we even remember?
It's on the tip of my tongue. I just can't think of it.
That's kind of one of my points right there. But the other one I'd like to make is that when it happened 3 or 4 years ago.
American Pharoah.
That's right. I still didn't care then either.
I didn't either.
I was like, first Triple Crown winner in 78 years. I'm like, oh, that's neat. Oh, look, right. Big Bang Theory's on.
Yeah.
Like that was...
I love that show.
What is it about? Is it because it is the sport of millionaires? Is that why, like, nobody cares? I mean, is it just because it's not a common sport that people don't get it?
It's because it's the same. It's even more rare. I'll bring it. Any kid, you know, it's inexpensive to put a basketball hoop up in the driveway. Mm-hmm. It's inexpensive to get a glove and a ball and play catch, or maybe even get a bat and play a game with some neighborhood kids. I'll go to my sport, hockey. I grew up playing a little bit of roller hockey back in the days. That's why I like hockey's an expensive sport to play. That's why it's not as popular. Horse racing is even more expensive. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it's even less popular. Yes, that is a great way of looking at it. And that's why it's not that big of a deal. It's harder for me to get into sports where I don't have a city to cheer for. Okay. That's why I don't like golf or tennis or horse racing or NASCAR, anything as much as
because
I like
because you're
team
picking
sports.
An individual.
Yeah, because I can't really relate to any of them. Like, I don't get how people pick which NASCAR drivers are. Oh, Jeff Gordon's garbage, Dale Jr. all day. Like, why? Why?
Yeah, I don't get that either.
Why do you pick that guy? The only exception I had to that was Carl Edwards. I liked rooting for Carl Edwards because he was from where I was from.
Right.
He grew up in Columbia. And I thought that was cool. I was like, okay, well, I'll cheer for him because he's a homer. You guys laugh at me, but professional wrestling, my favorite wrestler of all time, Randy Orton. Why? Because he's from St. Louis.
No, we laugh at you for other reasons, too.
Sure,
but...
sure. At Kansas City, if you're looking for a wrestler to cheer for, Baron Corbin. Every time he comes out to the ring, from Kansas City. And it's cool to hear. It's cool to hear your hometown, you know?
I have friends that went to high school with him.
He is. Needs to work on his mic skills.
Not good, huh?
He's not good.
Mm. He's
very
cool.
Large man, though.
As far as horses go, I think you could be a fan of certain trainers. You could say, well, I follow like Bob Baffert or Todd Pletcher and that's why they sell the story of it. That's why they have like a 10-hour pregame and they tell you like, well, this horse came from the 1985 winner and, you know, they were sired by this guy or that this horse is owned in part by the queen or something. You know, it's like that's why they have those backstories there.
Also, it's a 10-hour pregame for a 2-minute race.
If you're lucky, 2 minutes is quite a bit. Yeah, no. I think it's also a family thing. If you grew up in Kentucky, I think you have a much bigger tie to horse racing or horses in general than anyone else in the country.
Yep. I don't know. I got into it because I like to boil it down to just the feat of sport of an animal that was bred to race at a high level who gets to do his thing in front of millions of people, and it's a fantabulous spectacle.
No, I don't.
Have you been to the Derby?
Because if they,
I've not.
Hurt.
It's on my bucket list of things to do.
Do you have a hat ready to go?
Yes.
Do I with the fascinator? Yeah. Sure. Yes.
And then will you have a mint julep?
Of course he will.
Well, this is the Belmont, so it's a little bit different. It's more of a New York thing.
I know, but I'm asking you, like, because I figure if you ever go to one, you'll go to the Derby.
Totally.
And if you go to Kentucky, will you have a mint julep?
Oh, I will dress in the style. Absolutely.
What does a mint julep run at the Kentucky Derby? Is it like a $14, like a $30 drink, or like a $100 drink?
No, I bet you it's like a $15.
I bet you, because I think it comes in like a special hurricane kind of glass.
Okay. What is a mint julep? I have no idea what kind of booze is in that. It sounds awful because I don't like chocolate and mint together.
I don't think there's chocolate.
I don't like the mint in my drink. You know, it's like I don't want to say. I feel like if I'm drinking a mint drink, I feel like I'm swallowing mouthwash.
Bourbon, water, crushed or shaved ice, and fresh mint. Sounds very refreshing.
So bourbon and mint, basically.
Yeah, it's a good old Kentucky drink. You know,
it's a good old
Kentucky bourbon.
All right. Fair enough. Well, speaking of sports that no one cares about except only one of us on the show, I have mixed feelings about Vegas going to the Stanley Cup final.
Why is that?
Now, I have been a long-suffering St. Louis Blues fan for my whole life. They've been in existence for 52 years and have yet to hoist Lord Stanley's Cup.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. That's their own fault, and that's fine. But I'm going to get a little irritated if this expansion teams comes out of nowhere and these fans are blessed with raising a cup in their without having to experience the heartache of playoff defeat. No matter what sport we're talking about, the heartache of playoff defeat is something wicked.
Yeah.
Vegas comes in as their first professional team, and they're going to go and win it all the way in their first year. They don't experience the heartache. I think they're due a little heartache before I'm going to sound like an old man here. I don't think they'll appreciate it as much.
You do sound like an old man. But the Golden Knights joined the St. Louis Blues as the only expansion team in the NHL, NFL, NBA, or MLB to reach the championship in their inaugural season. That's a really cool thing. I'm not saying they're going to win it, but either which way, that's cool. That's huge.
I'm saying they will. It's more like, as we sit here, game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals time. We don't know if they're playing Tampa Bay or Washington. It looks like Tampa. Out of the West, I think Vegas is the favorite.
And let me ask was there an expansion draft?
Yes.
Like what soccer will do or people pick off
Absolutely
players?
Absolutely,
okay,
there were.
So they really got a cream of the crop of good players right off the bat.
No, they got a whole lot of mid-level midliners. They got a whole bunch of second and third liners.
Like, how does the NHL run that? I mean,
And I don't remember the exact numbers. I think it was you're allowed to protect, you know, you expose everybody, but then you can protect either like 10 total players or 7 forwards, 4 defensemen, and 1 goalie or something, like, you know, so like you had the option of who to protect.
But they don't have a team. It's not like Wayne Gretzky, Brett Hull, like, you know,
no, they couldn't,
full
they couldn't,
of superstars.
They couldn't go out and get Crosby from the Penguins and then Ovechkin from the Capitals and everybody like that.
I would like to see Gretzky play, though.
Not anymore, you wouldn't. Wayne Gretzky would be an average player in today's NHL, by the way.
But you know how much attention that team would get if Wayne Gretzky just played one game?
Well, he'd have to put little skate blades on his walker then.
Oh.
Let's see Gretzky's daughter play.
Oh, jeez.
Hey,
by the way, now, you know how the St. Louis Blues did in that first ever Stanley Cup final?
Apparently they lost.
They got the brooms pulled out on them. They got swept right out of there by Montreal. And then the next year, they got beat by Montreal in the Stanley Cup final, followed by the most infamous picture in all of hockey in 19. The Blues made it to the Stanley Cup final the first 3 years of their existence.
Really?
68, 69, 70, and have never made it back since. Mm. They were eliminated. They have actually never won a Stanley Cup final game. Swept all 3 times.
Oh, my gosh.
And Bobby Orr put in the game-winning goal. And have you seen the iconic picture of the guy flying through the air with his stick like he looked because he just scored and he's flying through the air with his hands up in the air.
Yes.
Yeah, that was against the Blues to if you look at the rest of that picture, you'll see the goalie with a big old blue note on his chest going, "Oh, crap." Like it's just as Bobby Orr celebrates in Boston, gets their umpteenth title because we all know the city of Boston hasn't had enough championships yet.
That's right.
Bitter party of one.
I'm sorry. What was that? Oh. What was that?
Anyway, that's why I have mixed feelings about it. I feel like you need a little heartbreak in your franchise before you get the celebration.
I.e. the Royals.
Right. Do you not appreciate it more if you had to work a little harder to get
We do. Yes.
I'm just saying.
But I mean, also gives you such good momentum going into the next season. I mean, your first season, you go to the championship and
a lot of the pick players they picked up, though, they picked up with like they were made available because there's only a year left on their contract anyway. Mm. A lot of free agents coming out of Vegas next year. Really? It'll be a whole different team.
So it's going to be a whole, Gotcha. Different new complexion. Gotcha. So. Wow. Big stuff in the world of sports. Glad you guys could be here with us to celebrate.
Oh. Hey, what? Don't cut us off.
What?
We have to talk Big Slick.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Okay.
What do you mean, okay? Big Slick, it's Big Slick time in Kansas City. You've went with us every year for the last 3 years.
Sorry, I forgot what was on the rundown. You're right. I love Big Slick.
That was my nickname in college. I'm just kidding.
No, it wasn't.
I didn't go to college.
You know why I'm excited for Big Slick this year? Mike, have you ever been to Big Slick?
I've never been to Big Slick.
So it's a whole event. It's a whole weekend. It's coming up June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And the first day, the first day of it is all the press and all the feel-good stuff at the Children's Mercy Hospital, because that's where all the proceeds for all of this go. But you get your big five. You get Stone Street, Koechner, Sudeikis, Rob Riggle, and who am I missing?
Oh, the big five, huh?
You can't even name all five of them.
Who am I missing?
Did you say Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd.
You did say Paul Rudd.
No, I didn't.
Name all five again. Go.
Now, Paul Rudd, Sudeikis, Koechner, Stone Street, and Riggle.
There you go. She got them.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
How are you going to forget Paul Rudd?
I don't know. Leave me alone.
He is the Ant-Man.
Yeah, I've never watched that.
He was in Clueless. One of the greatest movies of all time.
He was in Clueless.
I love that that's the reference that you bring to the table.
He was in Halloween 5.
He was
one of the worst Halloweens of all time.
And he's going to be a Big Slick. That's my point.
He is Brian Fantana. He is the sports anchorman.
I don't know what any of this means.
You've never seen Anchorman?
No, not in its entirety. Quit looking at each other like that, you guys.
Leave.
you guys.
Just leave.
How in the heck have you ever not seen Anchorman?
I have watched most of it, kind of.
I get
bored.
Can someone please tell her that it's...
I'm right here.
It's kind of a big deal.
Oh, look, Jesus. We've tried to tell her about all these movies. She hasn't watched a darn thing. She
there
has
are
a list of movies 120 titles long.
I just wanted to talk about Big Slick.
That she's never seen before.
There are books written about this movie... of rich mahogany.
Oh my God. I know the quotes.
Sex Panther.
I know the quotes, people.
Oh my gosh.
60% of the time, it works every time.
Anyway, back to Friday at Big Slick.
Let's call her out!
Oh, I hate you both.
No, let's go. Let's talk to Paul. I'll be like, hey, Paul, you remember that movie Anchorman you did? Morons here, never seen it.
You know what? I hope you get a chance to talk to Paul Rudd. I hope so, because they're going to be a little busy at the softball game. If you have not gotten to see it, Brian and I went, the last 2 years? And it's really cool, because you get all these different celebrities from out of town coming in. But this year, I'm so excited. He's coming back. Tony G. I love Tony G so much. He's playing in the game.
Who's Tony G? What?
Tony Gonzalez.
Oh, Gonzalez. Okay,
oh, man. For the love.
Spell this out for people.
I'm thinking Tony Gwynn, and I'm like, no, he died.
Tony Gwynn. Oh, my gosh.
That's where my head went.
Oh, jeez.
Well, I'm thinking baseball, softball, something in Tony Gwynn. The guy with all the hits. And I'm like, Tony G, he's dead. And then I'm thinking, maybe it's some R&B singer I don't know. Like, it sounds like an R&B name.
Well, here's the thing. You're in Kansas City. If I say Tony G to most people.
On KC-102.1.
If most people hear the name Tony G and they are in the Kansas City area, they know who I'm talking about.
You're
right. Number 88.
You're right. But then again, if I say, raise your hand if you've seen Anchorman, everyone except you is going to raise their hand.
But we all know this. This is not a shock to anyone else but you.
You know what San Diego means?
I'm done with you.
Oh, well. Oh, tell us more about Big Slick.
Yes. No, I don't want to talk to you anymore.
Yeah. Let's talk about Tony G, by the way, whose wife, October, is not coming back to the show Beat Shazam.
I'm so mad about
that. That's too bad.
I'm so mad because they're having Jamie Foxx's daughter do it instead.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's nepotism.
Right. A little bit.
Did you know that Jamie Foxx isn't even his real name?
No.
I'm being dead serious. His name's like Eric or something.
Eric.
What?
I think. Hold on. Let me Google it.
Well, anyway, Brett Saberhagen's coming to the celebrity softball game. Rich Eisen, Carissa Thompson. There's going to be a ton of people there.
Oh, Rich. I've got a great Rich Eisen story sometime for you guys, by the way, which is fantastic.
Is this an off-air conversation? That's,
not at all. Not at all. Nope. Rich Eisen is one of the greatest sportscasters. He's one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And he used to work, I'll tell you very quickly, he used to do Baseball Tonight with Brian McCray, my buddy B-Mac. And Brian used to
throw. Let me pick that name up you just dropped here.
That's right. Get it off the floor. B-Mac used to throw this great 4th of July party at his house out in South Overland Park. And one year, Brian calls everybody and says, hey, guys, party's still on. Everybody go to the house. It's cool. They'll let you in. But I have to do baseball tonight, and then I'm going to fly out there. So we all go to Brian's house. He's not there, but he had a basketball court in his basement. He's got a half court. It's all decked out like his high school. It's amazing. Gym floor, the whole works. So we're down there. We're partying. We're having a good time. Everybody's car pulls up, and B-Mac and Rich Eisen and I don't even know who else from ESPN gets out. He had taken the Baseball Tonight crew after the show, put them on a private jet, flown them out of Bristol and to KC to come to his 4th of July party. So I'm standing on the back deck, and this guy is like rooting through the cooler, and I'm like, come on, dude, just find a freaking beer, okay? Suddenly, the dude stands up, turns around. It's Rich Eisen. I was like, oh, hey, sorry. This guy, he turns around, he goes, hi, I'm Rich Eisen from ESPN. I was like, I know, I'm Truda, I'm nobody.
And you know what happened with his beer?
What?
He got it.
That's right.
Come on now. Yeah. That's good stuff right there.
There you go.
He's Rich a good Eisen. Dude. Eric Bishop. Jamie Foxx's real name. Eric Marlon Bishop.
Really?
50 years old.
That's really disappointing.
Eric Bishop. You know, Will Smith's full name is Willard Smith.
Is that right? Not William?
No, Willard.
Wow.
What a nerd. Hey, Willard. I'd pick on him and then regret it later when he's a quadrillionaire. Should have been his best friend. Boy. All right, Truda, now you can hit the music. Now the couldn't go without that Big Slick conversation.
Let's do a Big Slick in town. I can't wait.
Look up what San Diego means. Fun for the whole family. Look it up while your kids are around. They'll appreciate it.